Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. I've got Ethan Sherwood Strauss in a cabana in Las Vegas. How's it going?
It's going well. You know, this cabana is just beautiful. It's one of those days that just makes you feel thankful to be alive, Zach.
Yeah, it's one of those rare days where you go outside, I find, which is rare. I feel like we've had a interesting time in Las Vegas. We've been here for the Las Vegas Summer League. What has been your favorite moment, either on or off the court?
Well, my favorite moment, we're fine. Come here.
I'm gonna edit all that out.
You're gonna edit all that out. Well, we have a waitress taking our orders, but this is, you know, we're just big shots, and this is how we do things. But other than this lovely cabana, my favorite time at Summer League has been watching the Warriors Summer League team. No offense, you know, an inability to dribble, but yet they overcome, Zach. They overcome through their grit and their grind, appropriating it from Memphis, and just lovely defense from Darren Erman.
Sure. You've not stopped talking about Darren Erman throughout this entire week.
He's the story. They're one of two teams left. You just have to accept that this story built, you know, and you built up an aversion to it, but the story didn't stop, and now it's paramount.
You wouldn't stop talking about it. That's where the aversion came in. Almost 4 times a day. You would mention it to me.
In fairness, at a certain point, it was just a bug you. I mean, I would say that that's what this is right now. I mean, when it was last brought up.
Can you answer to the rumors that you have abandoned the Golden State Warriors in favor of the Phoenix Suns, who you are also very high on this week?
Well, look, I just believe that the Suns had the best team. You know, they had experience. And it's a bad sign when your summer league team looks a lot like your NBA team, unless you want to win the summer league championship. Then it's a great sign. Then that bodes well for you. And I chose them early. I thought that they were going to win. You know, Danny Nowell has his aversion to that pick, and I've been arguing with him about it a lot. But between those Morris twins and their Sedin-like communication on the court, I just like it better than what the Warriors provide. I think the Warriors are under-talented, but they try really hard.
Okay. I'm glad you mentioned the whole trying to win the championship thing, because I've been trying to figure out how can we make this a system in which, I mean, they've implemented the tournament, which is nice, but we're still seeing the same problems of people are being pulled out of games because why would you try? Is there a way you can incentivize a summer league championship when you don't have every team involved that will keep, you know, your Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and your Jeff Taylors and your whatever NBA players have been kept out?
Well, $1 billion. For the tournament winner?
$1 billion?
$1 billion. I think that would be the proper incentive. I think that would get it done. No, perhaps you could have a financial incentive that would be relatively minor. You know, just a few grand. You know, something that a few of the players might lose at the craps tables afterwards. I don't know. But the look on your face was, I think I know what you're going to say after that. But you could have a sort of a financial incentive, perhaps doing it the way the Orlando Summer League does, where you have a soccer-style scoring, where you get 3 points for a win, 1 point for a tie, if you want to have ties in basketball, and 0 points for a loss. Something with points might be good instead of a tournament, because then everybody's involved. Everybody cares about their relative status. They don't feel like they have to go home after losing. That might be good.
We've literally never had a tie in basketball.
Hey, Summer League's a place to experiment. I say go with a tie. I say have a four-point play, an extended three-point line. Maybe widen the court, experiment with that. Offensive goaltending like you see in FIBA and the D-League. We should have fun with this because, frankly, it doesn't seem like the league takes it all that seriously. So few of these guys actually make an NBA roster. It's an open secret at this point that it's just an excuse to hang out in Vegas and schmooze for a lot of the executives. So why not make it fun? Why not make it gimmicky?
I do like the idea of experimenting with the rules in Summer League. You know, they do that kind of with the D-League. But for the most part, I think that you can really make some headway in terms of testing out offensive goaltending, defensive goaltending, you know, ball above the cylinder stuff or a four-point line. I've always thought that the half-court line should be the four-point line.
Yeah, a half-court could be a four-point play, but that's just your That's really just part of your insidious, dastardly tactic to make Gerald Green an NBA player, because he seems to have some facility with that half-court shot as opposed to most other shots he takes.
I've actually been fighting against Gerald Green being an NBA player for quite some time because he's not very good. He did, though. I mean, Eastern Conference Finals, I'm at practice for the Pacers, and he's just shooting half-court shots in a shooting contest with Paul George. Mm-hmm. like it's a jump shot. No extra step, no heave. It's just one shooting motion, and he was pretty accurate with it. Whereas Paul George, your beloved Paul George, not accurate at all.
Well, look, it's like how Nick Van Exel used to stand way far back when he took...
It's exactly like that.
It's exactly.
Just 30 feet farther from the hoop.
It's exactly like that. Some guys are a little bit better further back. You know, physics would tell you that it shouldn't be, but we don't know everything about the bend of the arms. We don't know how that whole thing works. Maybe there's a guy out there who would shoot 50% from behind the half-court line, and we just haven't seen it yet.
Sure, yeah. It could be like a rookie of the year situation.
I think we might have a wingspan segue. I'm just throwing that in.
Okay. Let's talk about Kent Bazemore.
Yeah, there we go.
His wingspan is quite impressive, and it's almost 7 feet.
Yeah.
His forearms are cartoonishly long.
Yeah.
I don't mean that as a insult. It's a backhanded compliment. And they've been trying to turn him into an offensive weapon, because he admitted to you, correct, that he was a liability on offense last year.
Yes, he did. Now, look, I would say that he has a 6'11 and a half wingspan. He rattled those numbers off, but with Darren Erman's extra coaching, it is now a 7'1" wingspan.
I don't feel like that's biologically correct.
You just haven't really been paying attention. There's some amazing things some of these assistant coaches can do when given the reins at Summer League. I think that he just looks stretchier, subjectively. He looks like it's an even wider wingspan than before. I may or may not, we'll have to see about the sources, have gotten word that he tied his shoes while standing up, without even stretching. It's a crazy wingspan, and that's his primary value, but apparently there is a downside to wingspan, which is that it's hard to shoot. You shoot your shot lower. You want to have those short arms. You want to have those short arms that just go right up there.
It can't be too short, otherwise you can't get the shot off with a defender there.
Well, that's true. You don't want the T-Rex arms, right? You don't want that. You just want something kind of in between, a nice little happy medium. And with Bazemore, it's too long, and he's trying to be like Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant has this freakish wingspan, not only that, but a freakish ability to tuck it in and just shoot right up from the chest, and that's what the long guys are trying to emulate, apparently.
Yeah, I think you've seen that. You've seen that shooting motion with my beloved Ricky Lito. He has a very similar motion to what Kevin Durant does. Let's talk about Draymond Green.
Oh, yeah.
You kind of...
No, wait. Look, I know this is bad improv. I know this is bad improv to sort of, instead of yes-anding you, saying nah. I don't want to pigeonhole myself as somebody just talks Warriors, Zach. We can talk about the general summer league. There are other topics.
Yeah.
We can get in on that.
Let's talk about the general summer league. You generally pissed off Draymond Green on Twitter by saying, and to be fair to you,
yeah.
He has not played well. He shot under 30%, I believe, or maybe he's around 30% after the last game.
At the time I angered him, it was around a little over 27%.
Yeah, 27%. He was under 20% from three-point range, and you said if he didn't have a contract, I'm paraphrasing here, but if he didn't have a contract, he probably wouldn't catch the eye of many talent evaluators, and he didn't like that.
Yeah, I tweeted something like, if he wasn't already on the team, based on the summer performance, he wouldn't make it. And he just kind of shot back at me on Twitter, and I think he was well within his rights to do so, because I was being mean. But I was also being pretty accurate, because no way, if Draymond Green just was undrafted and put together this summer league performance with the scouts, go, oh my God, we need to get this guy on our team. We need one of those 27% shooters out there helping us just, soak up possessions. But in fairness, and when I talked to him about it, quite an awkward conversation that you heard the beginning of.
It was great. I wish we had the capability to put the audio in here,
yeah.
Because you sounded a little nervous or a little hedgy, or I don't know really how to describe it.
I don't like feeling as though I've hurt anyone's feelings, or it's an uncomfortable situation. It went okay, but his explanation was essentially that at Summer League you don't try all the shots that you try in the game. He's not just posted out there in the corner three and running on a cut waiting for Steph Curry passes or waiting to receive the benefits, the fruits of Steph Curry's labor. Instead, he's dribbling around the top of the key and throwing, one-legged three-pointers with 3 seconds left on the shot clock. He's trying things out. He's experimenting, and that, for him and for the rest of Summer League, depresses the field goal percentage. Now, you can interpret it that way. You could also just say, I just saw Draymond Green miss so many wide open jumpers.
I would agree with a lot of that. I feel like he missed a lot of open jumpers. I feel like he took a lot of jumpers with his foot on the line, mm-hmm. which was weird.
It's a summer league tradition because you want to show that you can shoot the three. So, you know, if you feel it's a little contested, if you feel like the closeout has come for you, maybe it's good to get that foot on the line. You want, it's better to have the three point percentage up there with how the league is valuing the 3-point shot.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let's talk about the league.
Oh,
other than your beloved Warriors and your beloved Suns,
yes.
Your Sons of Anarchy, one might say.
Yes, Sons of Anarchy.
Who else has impressed you during this summer league run?
I was impressed by the Bobcats. I was impressed by your guy, the sweet shooting Jeff Taylor.
Oh, I love Jeff Taylor.
Yeah, he has a nice stroke. I don't know if he can do anything besides shoot, but
well, he can defend. Other than that, like, he's not going to create off the dribble for you. He's not a big passer, but yeah, he can shoot. He's very athletic. He can dunk on people. He had a great dunk on Aaron Baines at one point.
You know, the easiest job in the world is it's finding flaws in a summer league player. So I'm not really going to. It's not fair for me to say, hey, Jeff Taylor can shoot, but look what he can't do. I thought this has been a great exhibition for him. I also loved seeing a Jonas Valanciunas play. We're talking about how great it looks. People are going, oh, my God, it's just summer league. It's summer league. It's summer league. It's summer league. Well, those 20 extra pounds of muscle he put on, I don't think are going to evaporate when he walks into an NBA court. He looks like a new man, Zach.
Oh, he's huge. He's huge. And what I liked about it is sometimes you see guys put on muscle, but they don't really do anything with it. You could tell he was actively trying to play a more physical brand of basketball to kind of, you know, almost like troubleshoot, hey, what can I do with this new muscle, this new physique I have? Can I bully guys? Can I get in there and dunk easier?
It looks like the beginning, the beginning in District 9 where he gets that sort of robot suit, that robot alien suit, and he's just sort of, that's what we're seeing with Valanciunas. He has a robot alien suit on his shoulders.
No, that's probably exactly what it is. It might not even be muscle. It might just be some kind of alien technology that we're not aware of.
Is that the new PED scandal? Is robot technology?
I mean, it would.
The Spurs have some sort of device you can see on their jersey. Some sort of, who knows what it's monitoring or measuring, but there's some sort of electronic device attached to them that people have seen, and they won't tell us what it is.
Yeah, they won't tell us what it is. It's some kind of, maybe it measures heart rate or, you know, blood flow or stretchiness of your own limbs. I don't really know what it's measuring, but it is measuring something. And the Austin Toros, actually, their D-League team, have been known to use the same technology.
Yeah. And who knows? You can just have whatever theory you want on this. I suspect that maybe Popovich just wants it as sort of a Dr. Evil esque tactic where you can just kill an underling or a player who's underperforming, you know, the snap of the fingers, you know. Who knows what's in there? It could be poison at the right time. I don't know. It seems very sinister.
Like one of those ink capsules in bank bags.
Yes.
That will explode if you try to steal the money without unlocking the bag properly.
Yeah. And so it could be used for those purposes, but the safer bet is probably that they're just measuring how the body reacts to running around to try to glean some sort of advantage. We know they're in the rest. They fetishize rest. So perhaps this is when they find out exactly when to rest guys, how long a rest. Maybe a 5-minute rest is so much better than a 4-minute rest. So much better. So this is perhaps what they're learning, if I were to venture a guess. Or murder.
Yeah, one of those. Other than your Bobcats that you've now, I feel like, adopted in this podcast.
What am I, sort of polygamist? I mean,
you're a bit of a sports polygamist.
I can like these teams. I can like these teams and enjoy it, you know? I think we're all liking teams. Why are you insinuating that it's bad to like basketball, Zach?
No, I'm not insinuating at all. You know who I like? I like that D-League Select team.
Yeah.
I became very
Stefan Hanna.
I love me some Stefan Hanna. We bonded. Well, we didn't bond, but I interviewed him, and
that counts. That's on the road to best friend.
Yeah, we talked for like 30 minutes. It was a great conversation. He's very fun to talk to. I loved his perspective on a lot of things. He talked a lot about how he turned down more money overseas to play in the D-League so he could chase his dream, that he wasn't chasing money. And, you know, maybe it's just lip service, but I kind of appreciated that refreshing way of going about starting your career, because it is a lot easier to take a 6-figure contract overseas.
Man, I can't paint that in a good light. That just sounds like a sucker move. Now, look, I assume that Stefan Hanna is doing the best for him. I don't want to... I don't want to criticize, but come
on. That's exactly what you're doing.
Come on, you can play in Europe versus playing the D-League and get more money in some far-flung Italian location, or you can be, I don't know.
He's done that, though. He played in Lithuania, played in Cyprus, he played in Poland, and it wasn't it wasn't as...
No offense to these places, but he might be choosing the wrong ones.
Lithuania is lovely, and per capita, that's the basketball country of the world.
Per capita, Lithuania, basketball country of the world, what are you basing that on? What
is it? They only have about 3 million people, and they have one of the best international teams out there.
I mean, don't they do? There are a lot of countries like that, right? For hockey, maybe Slovenia.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I mean,
just start naming random Balkans countries like Slovenia, Serbia, Montenegro. You know, they're all into that stuff. What about Montenegro's per capita, Zach?
Well, I don't know. One, I don't know how many people live in Montenegro. Two, I don't know what their hockey team has to do with it.
I just remembered that there was some country that had a great hockey team per capita, and they were always talking about that. Look, it's a little like the Allen Iverson pound-for-pound thing. I don't care. I don't care about your per capita. I don't care if you're the pound-for-pound best. I just want the final result. I just want the Olympic result. I'm not going to apply any sense of context to it.
Well, per capita, this podcast has a lot of Lithuanian fans.
It does. It has a lot of Lithuanian fans. Well, then I'm sorry, you guys. I love your country. I don't want to – look, I meant it towards Poland. I was talking smack about Poland when I talked about him choosing the wrong countries. I did not mean Lithuania. I'm sorry. I'm just going to backpedal at 100 miles an hour right now.
You know, you're trying to pretend to be this optimist and this, I just want to enjoy teams and enjoy players. Let's flip that. Oh. Who haven't you enjoyed during this summer league experience? What players have disappointed you?
Other than Draymond Green shooting?
Other than Draymond Green shooting. Non-Warriors edition. Although, you could talk about Scott Machado if you wanted.
Yeah. That would be its own negative podcast. Otto Porter doesn't kind of maybe look like an NBA starter to me. I know it's early.
Question for you. Could it possibly be that he is a guy who compliments really good players well and just can't lift up the lesser fringe guys? Is that a possibility?
Well, yeah, but I think you should always be saying nice things to players.
Sure.
You know, I don't think that's a job that they could pay him for. Okay, in all non-corny seriousness, it could be possible. But my fear with him is he doesn't really have an elite skill. I don't know what he brings to the table. What's his role? What's his job?
Well, I guess he's supposed to be a defender with length and a guy who can kind of do a little bit of everything. Personally, I thought his passing was really bad. Like, Draft Express video, they said, hey, he's got a knack for passing. I think he has good vision, but I think he has horrible execution. I don't know if that's something that you can really fix.
Yeah, passing generally doesn't improve. It did for Durant, and also improved his handle. He did, which is those are two things. It's really difficult.
You giving basketball analysis like Yoda.
Oh yeah, I try.
Improved his handle. He did.
Improved his handle. He did. So it's more like a rabbinical sort of basketball analysis. Dribbled 16 times. He did. Well, we're just complimenting Durant a whole lot because he's such a nice boy. But Macklemore or Macklemore, depending on how you want to
say it. Ben Macklemore. Macklemore is the rapper, right?
Yeah, Macklemore is the rapper. Macklemore is the player. He had flashes. I'm not giving up on him, but also not the most inspiring of summer leagues. He shot something like 33%. He had two strong games, but some brutal, brutal stretches along with those.
Yeah, and it was kind of funny how I know we noticed this. You especially noticed this in the Warriors game he played, that they were shading him left and just forcing him to go left. And then I noticed in the game against the Timberwolves, they put Othias Jeffers on him and just forced him left. And Jeffers just destroyed him defensively. And it was kind of like there were some coaches, there were some people around kind of laughing about like, oh, welcome to the league. This is how people are going to play you. Did that concern you long-term?
It concerned me long-term just because, as we've discussed before, handle. Difficult to improve. Very difficult to improve. And he has quite the task ahead of him. Now, I will say this, on the positive angle of it, he, by all accounts, great kid, hard worker. I went to King's practice, and after the game where he shot something like, 4 of 23? Something awful. He stayed extra after everybody left, working on his free throws, working on his shots, putting in that extra time. And I don't know if all NBA rookies have that dedication. So perhaps he can improve.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think he's going to be a really good player. Like, I actually think he has the best chance of being the top player from this class, just because he has a knack for scoring. I think that overall, there's plenty to improve on, but it depends on what they want his role to be. Is he supposed to be a superstar? We have just got a lovely spread of food here. There's hummus. There's cheese. There's grilled asparagus. This is.
Oh,
I feel like we should wrap this up to kind of.
Do a food podcast.
We could. Switch. Yeah, we could talk food for a second. There's some pita bread. This is fantastic.
Yeah, this is fantastic. You know, which player is most like hummus, Zach?
Which player is most like hummus?
Yeah.
I would have to go with, I mean, this is just a weird question.
Okay, I'm sorry, I put you on the spot.
Which
is most like asparagus?
No, I've got one here. Are we talking summer league players or just players in general?
Oh, anything. You can just go with anything. Anything.
I will go with, I would say Tyson Chandler.
Oh, okay.
Because no. Here we go. Kyle Korver is most like hummus because he spreads the floor.
Okay, I like that. I'd say that Tyson Chandler might be most like hummus because, you know, there aren't a whole lot of components that make up his game, but it's Can cover everything, that's one thing. And also just not too many components make up his game. A lot of people don't know this, but not much goes into hummus. You just get your little olive oil, you know, maybe that's your defensive rebounding, your garlic, your beans, your either peanut butter or sesame, you know, sesame seed.
Oh, sesame seed.
Yeah, you gotta go tahini. You gotta go tahini there, you know, and you just whip it up in a blender or a food processor, I should say. And that's like Tyson Chandler's game. Very few components comprise it. You wouldn't consider him a highly skilled guy, but what he does excellently.
All right. I think that's going to do it for the Pick and Dinner Roll podcast. Ethan, it's been lovely spending time with you in Vegas here. I've had a great time covering Summer League, and thanks for coming on the Cabana Talk podcast.
Oh, yeah. I'll come on the Cabana Talk podcast anytime you want me, Zach.